Joshua was sweeping his garden when a monk entered and asked, "O Master, you are a great enlightened master, and how is it that there is dust here to sweep?" Joshua said, "It comes from the outside." Another monk once asked, "This is such a holy temple. How is it that there is dust to sweep even here?" Joshua said, "Here comes another particle of dust." Another monk asked, "What would you say when everything is totally cleaned up and there is not a particle of dust anywhere?" The master said, "No vagabonds are permitted here." This Zen master, Joshua, is sweeping his garden, and the disciple asks, "Master, you are a great enlightened master, and how is it that there is dust here to sweep?" The master said, "It comes from the outside." The master has nothing to sweep if it's nothing from the outside, if it's not this disciple coming, if he doesn't have to deal with anything from the outside. Then, if there is nobody from the outside, is no dust, nothing to sweep. Everything is clean. That's what it is to be a master. You have to sweep the dust, trying to clean the people. Another monk asked, "This is such a holy temple ground. How is it that there is dust to sweep?" The master said, "Here comes another particle of dust." He's saying, "Here comes another one with a question. Blah, blah, blah. How this, how that?" If you see that this is a holy place and that there is really a master here that has no dust on the mirror, then what is there to sweep then? There's nothing to sweep. Here comes another particle of dust that he has to deal with. Another monk asked, "What would you say when everything is totally cleaned up here and there is not a particle of dust anywhere?" Said the master, "No vagabonds are permitted here." He says, "No more vagabonds, no more seekers, no more monks is permitted here. That's the only way to keep the dust outside." But what to do? That is the work of the master. He's in a dilemma. He has cleaned up all his dust, but he goes on out of compassion to clean up people, to try to clean them, purify them. But in that process, he gets all the time dust in his eyes, in his lungs. He has to deal with all the stupid questions, all the projections, all the angers, all the frustration, all the mind. The only way is that no vagabonds, no seekers are permitted there. Then I might close down the shop then. That's how it is. What to do? So the master accepts and goes on sweeping. Welcome to Satsang. Beloved Master, I spent many years participating very little in the program, in the retreats, going only to satsang. In the last retreat in March, I started participating again in the program, especially in dynamic and the vipassana, and I respected the silence as never before. I was then graced with much, much deeper levels of meditation. I got so happy that my heart did not manage to wait until the next retreat in Brazil. I had to come here. Although there are some difficulties here for the non-English speakers, I decided to participate in this summer retreat. And it's so good. I feel so empty, so light, so much better. Wow, what kind of non-English speakers you talking about? You speak good now. But who cares? No, you understand now. Yeah, but you understand what is important to understand. Yeah? I have been sleeping well. Now I really learned it. I will always do the program as completely as possible. I'm already in the 24 dynamic in this retreat. That's how it is, Wahab. It takes time. Long time you have been, but many people are like that. They become, again, like lukewarm. In the beginning you have energy and then you fade out. And then you are so old sannyasin. No, I only go to satsang. So be aware of the mind, but there's nothing to do. It comes when it comes. No, you again saw when you participate and respected the silence as never before. Of course, because everything is designed for you to help you. And if you don't respect, which is some fools don't do, then you are undermining yourself. And that's how people are. Still is some fools here. They can't be respecting the silence. This means they don't respect the program, they don't respect themselves, they don't respect the Sangha, they don't respect me. So why the fuck are they doing here then? That's what they should ask themselves. To keep in reminder, what are they doing here? But this is how it is. Now I can talk to you about it because you have gone through it. And the mind always wants to undermine ourselves instead of being total. No, when you respected this silence, then I was graced with much, much, much deeper levels of meditation. I got so happy that I did not even manage to wait until the next retreat in Brazil. That is the science. You're getting graced then. You're being graced by silence, by understanding, instead of following the mind. When you hit me very strongly 5 years ago, I really got into a state of shock. I could not believe it. Why was he so hard with me? Why? What does he mean by that? What does he want from me? This paralyzed me for a long time. I never been hard with you. I always loved you, Wahab. But the ego, I'm hard with the ego. And why are you hard with my ego? Because that's the game we are playing here. That's why you are here, to get rid of your ego, to get rid of your mind, to go beyond your own identification with your mind, with your personality. But it's always hard when it's ingrained in you. Then all these questions, why? How? Instead of going deeper. No, 5 years is enough. I'm very happy with how. And if you ever felt that I was hard with you, it is just that you needed to go through it. And now you see it because you are out of it. And that is a very important time when you go through that, because it's all the possibilities. I always take a risk when I'm out of compassion. You are so lost in yourself. And if any opportunity comes that I can shake you, then I will do it. But I never know how it will go. It is a risk. But that, a risk like that, a master has to do. Because if you miss it, that means you are not ready to be here. Then it's better to go. And I also created always so that you think you are leaving. But in a way, you are already dropped. The mind always finds excuses. And many people come to that point and they miss. And that is not nice. It's much better to go through a state of shock. And shocks are great. Because in shock it means that you don't know. You are paralyzed. And that's the time where I can put something in you. I have to shock you, because then your mouth goes open. I put some. And then you put it like that. Just like you're trying to give medicine to your cat or to a baby. Then afterwards you feel better. But first, what are you doing here? Like that. And now you can laugh about it because you have gone through it. Many people haven't gone through that. It's a very funny business. But this is how it is, and I want to talk about it because many people are even going through it now. I will tell you something that Osho, my master, told. Between the teacher and the student, there is a business. Between the master and the disciple, there is a love affair. And you are only used to business. Then in the business, you play the games. You have to behave. It's part of the society. But between the master and the disciple, there is a love affair. And if that love affair is not there, nothing can happen. So now again, you are into your heart. You are happy. It means now you are again on the path of truth. If you are involved getting lost in your own mind, your own rejection, anger, frustration, doubt, then you're far gone. There's no way I can reach you. You have to get out of that first. Because everything then gets colored by your own mind. Why? Why me? Why is God so brutal? You take it personal. Truth is not personal. Truth is truth. It's simple. Open your eyes and see. Between the master and the disciple, there is a love affair. And that's why many, many times I have reminded you, if that love is not there, there is no chance. Because out of love, trust happens. And only when that has happened can you go beyond your own limitations, which you were clinging to at that time, your own ideas, which is normal. But what can a poor master do? Trying to get you out of it, and then get, why is he so hard with me? I even talked to you privately. How hard is that? How many people would like to talk to me to get personal guidance? And even that, the mind comes off with it. Why hard with me? This is how we are when we are lost in the self. The disciple is surrendered. That is the meaning of sitting down, of stopping. He has surrendered. He has put his ego aside. He is simply open, in tremendous trust. Of course, any doubt will hinder this process. But I always remind you, you will be tested, because this doubt will always keep you away. This fear, these projections, these images, these things from the childhood, mama and papa, all this stuff is your story. It has nothing to do with me. It's nothing to do with truth. It's keeping you away. So this is the only way. If he has surrendered, if he has put his ego aside, he is simply open in tremendous trust. And that's where you are now, because this is finished. But you had to go through it. But you also saw how easy it is to go away then, because your ego is hurt. You don't understand why. Doubt is perfectly good when you are collecting information. The more you doubt, the more information you will be able to collect, because each doubt will create questions in you, and questions are needed to find answer. But each answer will be doubted again in its own turn, creating more questions, and so on and so forth. But with the master, remember, doubt is a hindrance. Being with the master is not a questioning. It is a quest of the soul, of the heart. It is an inquiry of the heart. It is not intellectual curiosity. It's not a questioning. And remember, when why comes up, how, is your mind. Is not the way to be with the master. You have to go beyond your mind. It's the only way. And I say the only way that you're going to understand, that you're going to grow. It is not intellectual curiosity. It is far more important. It is a question of life and death. When one is tired of all the questions and all the answers, when he's fed up with all the philosophies, only then does one come to a master. That's what a master hopes. That's how it has been for thousands of years in the East. When you are ready, then you come to the master. You come to a master because then, no, you have found out, I can't make it. I'm helpless. I want help. I'm open. I'm receptive. Do whatever you want. That's how Osho says, come to a master. That's how every master would like you to come, but that's not the situation. And definitely not now in the modern world. Many of you are not really seekers. You, by accident, you came. I'm trying to teach you, to connect you again with the thirst of your heart, of your soul. It's hard work because you're not even consciously seeking for something. That longing maybe I can create in you. Yes, some is ready. Some is very ready. And some is very unready. So you have everything here. Of course the master wants to have a disciple who knows, who is ripe, to get that teaching heart to heart, where the mind is not in the way. And if the mind is in the way, the ego is too much, then you have to go through that, which you did. And you say, when you hit me very strongly 5 years ago, I cannot remember because I never hit anybody. How can I hit? Sweet Vahab, listen to your words, Vahab. How can I hit you? Anything, I would kiss you. What you? When I was a child and my father used to hit me, most of the times unfairly, I had no choice, since I had nowhere to escape to. And the whole discourse at home, at the church, and at the school, in supreme violence, was that I had to love him in spite of that. There we go. All this you have from your family, from your father, from your mother, from the church, from the society, from your ideas, from school. I'm not there. This is not happening here with me. But you are carrying it. That is your whole story. Then is the problem, because all that is between you and me. And I remind you again and again, that has to go. Otherwise, there's no way you can reach me. Or I can reach you. It's like a China wall in between. The whole past has to go. Now you see how important it is. And only you can do that. When I was a child, fine. But now you are not a child, you are a grown-up man now. Wake up. But it's very difficult. You have to go through it. You have to go through your projection. And in that way, now you understand. Now you see. Now you have felt. Now you have been in shock. Now you have been in a doubting mind. Now you have felt hurt. Why? No, more wisdom has come. More understanding. Closer to yourself, closer to me. And your heart is happy. That is the outcome of being in the truth. Your heart is happy, you feel relaxed, you are at home. Otherwise, if it's too much you, it's always a tension. And always a subtle fight between you and me. Because you are not truly you, you are just your whole past and your projections. I had many doubts if your hit was fair or not. But from your presence at least, I could leave if I wanted to. But to leave and go where? Be happy if you feel that I hit you, Vahab. I'm telling you many times of the disciple coming to the master asking me, dear master, what is the truth? Show me the truth. What is the Buddha nature? And then he gets a good whack in his head. So he starts bleeding. Then you can, big possibilities, if doubt come up, is this fair or not? I'm asking about my Buddha nature and all I have is a big bump in my head. Is it fair or not? You have to go beyond that. And for some, in that bang, you wake up in the moment. Aha! Maybe the first satori. Maybe that hit was what you needed to get into the moment, which is what the master is trying in every possible way to get you in the present moment. with him. So you see the situation. So your whole energy is awake. So that is always the chance. Either you can wake up and go into a different dimension of yourself, or you can be hurt. And then possible, all the possibilities that you will escape. Your ego is hurt. But remember, you had the great potential then to go beyond your ego. And that's why, the only reason why the master is hitting you, because it is an infection there. How to get it away? For many years, the only thing I long for is to become more truthful, more joyous, more loving. Yeah, and now it's happening. It's the only way, and you have so difficulty to listen because it's not only what I'm saying. I'm saying the same every day, but before it's your realization. No, you have gone through it. It's a purification. No, you are available for love, for understanding, for truth. Because it's not so much you. It's not so many ideas. You are more innocent again. You are more in tune with me. You are more humble. Since the beginning of my adult life, I have had the awareness of the presence of much sadness and discouragement in me, like if they were present in the background. Even the simple day-to-day things of life I do without any joy. Long before finding you, I had already lost the interest in the things most people are after. Power, fame, money, buying. I was and I still am tired of all that stuff. So where else will I be able to dedicate this search if not close to an enlightened one? And if I had all this luck of not needing even to go to India, since he came exactly to my own province, my own town, will I waste this chance? Sounds pretty stupid, but we are stupid. What to do? I have seen it many times. It's just the proof that you are stupid. What to do? Nothing wrong with that. Just like the Buddha's always said, go out. If you're not ripe, go out in the wild world and suffer more. And maybe one day you will be ready to just stop and sit and go through that you need to be able to fall in tune. It's always been the same. When I met you, it was a shock of joy, of enchantment. How could there be someone so authentic, so transparent, so captivating? Yes, but when that so authentic one starts working on you, he wants you also to be authentic. And that is the tough work. That is the thought work for the authentic ones, to get you authentic. But it's a great blessing even to recognize the authentic one, because that is your own future. Those who can't recognize, or even worse, come close and then judge and go away again, that is no hope. Since the beginning of my adult life, I have had the awareness of the presence of much sadness. Yes, now it's time to let it go. And it's the only way to be with the authentic one, because who, if you are not with someone who has it, how can you catch it then? You have tried the whole world. What did you get? sadness, disappointments, no joy, empty promises. The only way is to be with someone who has it. It's the easiest way. The only thing is that you get out of the way. And then this truth, this authenticity, this love, this peace can flood you. That's what I call the homework. Bliss and truth is infectious, like everything else, but you have to come close to it. That's what's happening in satsang. I make you infectious with truth, with bliss. But your mind has to go, because that doesn't understand that language. Only the heart. But after this second shock, I did not nourish much love for you for a long time. And I even felt anger. That is normal, Vahab. Don't feel bad about it. Let it go. It's a history now. It's just good. No, I tell to all the other people who has to still go through it. So you can help other people now. No, I was so patient with you. Most probably I used up my patience. I won't be so patient with the other. So I hope they are more quick. I told you the other day, the Buddha, they have to, that is part of their work, they have to, they know all the projections, all the anger. But nothing can win, you can never win. It's like coming alone, like Buddha said, towards an army of 100,000. You just look stupid. And still you are trying. Why? Why cannot I win? Hey, why don't you just join this army of truth instead? No, the ego always wants to fight. I felt resistance to write about my torments. After all, how to open my heart to one who had hurt me? This is what I'm talking about, trust. If that trust is not there, you have to be strong enough to go against your own mind. It's the only way. And if that love and trust is not there, there's no way. There's no way. And many have to be tested for that. Otherwise, you will shrink and you become you again. How to open my heart to one who had hurt me? That wasn't you. How can I hurt you? What do you feel now? What do I do with you? Vahab, what do I do with you?
You give me love.
Yeah. I give you love. Is there any hurt in that? What is there in that? What is there in that love? What does that do to you?
Help me.
Help you. So who is it that gets hurt? Very good. No? Do I put it clear now? Oh my God. How come there's so much dust in here? How and why love someone who have offended me? Offended who? But this is how you are. You are so lost in your little dark ego that you love anything. anything. I have to be so careful. And I try this way and that way and this way and that way. Just a little bump. Just like on the subway. Oh, excuse me. See in yourself how ridiculous it is. And hopefully you learn. Because you all have this in you. It seemed humanly impossible to open up to someone who had hurt me, who had offended me. That's exactly what I want, Wahab. To go beyond your limitation. What is humanly possible? You did it. It's possible. You don't know that, but I know. And I work and work and try and try and remind you and write and tickle you and kiss you and hit you and push you and dance you and laugh with you and cry with you. And no. Only when you have gone through it can you see it, get the picture of it. Look how the ego is, how the mind is. Do you really think I'm here to offend you, to hurt you, to hit you? It's totally ridiculous. That's not why you are here. And that's what you have to remember when you go through so-called hard time or cooking or baking or whatever you want to call it. Or frying. That's what you have to remember. Because it's so easy that you just shut down. Which what you did. You shut down. You have to ask yourself, is this what I have gotten from the Master? Is this what I'm here for? You have to go beyond yourself. Otherwise, you will only stay in your ego self, in your little narrow world. You ask, it seems humanly impossible. I know, and that's why it's so few who makes it. And I'm only pushing you here to go beyond what you think is humanly possible. Because only then will you go into the divine self. And when that is crossed, then a whole different existence opens. Then you are not bound by the law of the humans. You belong to the gods, to the divine, to your heart, to your truth. And if that can be called hurting you, hitting you, to get you there, so be it. So be it. It's worth it, because I know it's possible. But you don't. But since I had been a little indecisive, confused, I decided to at least do what you so many times taught me, simply sit there. That's the best thing, Wahab. This was possible for me, since in spite of all, I was still melting during satsang. That's what they've always been saying. If you don't understand, if you are still confused, just sit there. And slowly, slowly, the energy around the Master will again infect you, remind you, get you in tune. It's bound to happen because you can never win if you just sit. Some new understanding, some new deeper level of yourself will come up. Even if you don't understand, even if you're confused, if you're angry, just sit. And it will change. It's bound to change. The worst thing is to run away when you are angry, when you are confused, when you hurt. Because that means, no, you keep that. And the Buddha cannot get any, it doesn't touch him. Is your anger, is your confusion. So it's like you giving that to yourself. That's why you have to be careful what you are putting out, what you are thinking, what you are feeling. The master is just a mirror. Whatever comes up, that is where you are at. I would only write you to talk about external things like Mevlana Garden, my bad sleep, etc. I could not talk about my intimate process. It's very difficult to talk about that when you go through it. And you have also been in charge of your life, which is normal. You had your life together, you've been an educated and intelligent man, you had your position, and you are used to people listening to you. And now you come to this guy. And I remember faintly now, you did many things, intelligent things, that was good for Mevlana, for the company, for the law and order. That's great. Is that not my area? My area is of truth, of love. And it has to come from that. And luckily you hang in there. Because now you can do the same, but there's no conflict. Because your consciousness is higher. And you cannot talk about it because you want to show the good things. So it's very good now, you are out of it. Slowly, slowly the clouds were gradually dissipating, disappearing. And to make it short, it had to take some time now, because I've been nice for 5 years. Huh? You've been missing out many letters, Wahab. Now we have to catch up here. I can have this whole satsang just for you, no problem. We're all in the same boat. There's no hurry. And because I love you, who cares? To make it short, thank you very much for having waited so patiently for me. So many times it seems that you would give me a look which was a mix of compassion and sadness. Yes, a compassion, because I hope you make it. And a little sadness, because it's not necessary. What to do? We inflicting so much pain on ourselves. What can I say? I can just... I hope it goes good. Thank you very much for having sent me so many rays of light to enlighten this dark night that I went through. You went through, and the good news, Wahab, is that no, you are out, and it won't come back. That's what the mystic, the Christian mystic, called the dark night of the soul. You have to go through that. Because no, it's your experience. No, you got stronger in spirit. No, the love, the trust went deeper. And so many thanks, all the heart friends like Madhav, the numerous times that you explain that the master hits only out of compassion. All the numerous hints in satsang. Wahab, are you still thinking a lot? It is not through thinking that we progress in this search. Wahab, come on. and the hints that you sent me through my partner's dream. I never remember the content of my dreams. No, but whatever it is. My oracle, one of my oracles. The dream oracle. That's good, you have to keep an eye. You did good, kept an eye on him. No, look now, he's happy. It's very funny when I see, you know, because you are here to get out of the mind, to be happy, to come into the heart, to into the now. And still, when something little can happen, then you stick to your own mind. That mind that has only given you misery, that mind, that ego that you want to get rid of, and just a little challenge, again, the mind takes over. You have to be strong in spirit in those moments. That's what trust is all about. Instead of retreating back in your own mind, in the old darkness, you have to break through. Instead of having a breakdown, have a breakthrough. Don't make it hard for yourself. Jesus said, "Come to me, for my yoke is easy and my mastery gentle, and you will easily find rest for yourself." The only thing he is asking, put yourself aside, be available. That's all what the Master is reminding you. My way is easy. Come and rest. So I am again with a light heart and with new energy that will to continue on the path with you while you still accept me around here. I accept you, Wahab. You are welcome. And now, if I accepted you when you were in misery and a hangdog, don't you think I accept you now? It's much more fun now. No, I can even come and have some coffee and bolo with Vallabha and Wahab. I was afraid for many years now because he was so angry with me. How can, if you... You can't go to somebody's house if you're not welcome. But now, again, it's open. Then Vallabha also will be happy, make some nice bolos. I love you. Thank you for everything. You're Wahab. P.S. If you decide to read this letter in satsang here in Norway, there is no need for translation. Because your way of speaking English is so simple, direct, that it allows me to understand almost everything, at least essential. Who cares? We have the essential now. And also I can listen to the audio tape at home afterwards to really take everything in. That's good. Because now, Wahab, I don't want you to miss it again. Listen to it again and again. Darshan, where are you going? Beloved Master, when going out, be love. When going in, be silence. This saying you said, this quote comes to me. Since I go inwards in satsangs and meditations, and out, being with my children and prashanti. So peaceful after a satsang, I cycle to the house, and Emil, who is 4 years old, waits for me. With a big smile, he sprays me down with the water hose, soaking me. That is like love. That is love from a 4-year-old, because that is fun. And that he's doing the right thing. He's soaking you from the outside, I soaking you in satsang from the inside. So we work together in a way, me and Emil. So my retreat experience is a bit special, as I'm taking turns with Prashanti in a constant movement between relating and going into silence. But that is great, that is what this life is. It's all about the balance. Not too much of this and not too much of that, just the balance. And that's the whole art of life. When you feel you go too much out, step back and recharge yourself in the inner silence. And then you get so much energy, you come out again. And if you manage that, then no problem to live this life. You always have a balance. Connect first with your inner silence, your consciousness, your awareness. Then come out. Then that awareness will become compassion, understanding, love. But because nobody is connecting with that, they have lost that connection, they do all kinds of weird things. They go out, but they just are unconsciously out. So without any awareness, everything turns ugly. Because you are not aware what you are doing. So what can come out of it? The more consciousness, the more beautiful things, because you are conscious of what you are doing. That is the whole difference. Going in comes more natural to me. So I'm ever grateful to Prashanti and the children who forced me to integrate and live fully. Great way to see it. Everything is perfect. Otherwise, you will just become like a monk then. That's why we need women desperately. Otherwise, one of the few enlightened masters in the West, Socrates, they said that his wife was such a bitch. And his disciple, even the poor disciples got terrorized when they were in his house for little gatherings. And the master was going to speak, and then that bitchy wife coming in. What are you doing here now? What are you good for nothing, all sitting here listening to that fool here? He's not good at anything. Blah, blah, blah. And then they ask him, Master, how can you live with that woman? You who are a great enlightened being, and then you live with her, and you're teaching us to be free. Anything is, you can do anything. Why don't you leave? And he said, you don't know the inside story. Just because she's so terrible to live with, the only way I could go was in to escape. And that's why I went so deep in the meditation, because I had to. And one day, pop. And no, I don't care whatever is happening on the outside. It doesn't matter, because I am totally centered in myself. So don't say anything against my wife. So that's how it is. But you are much more lucky than that, luckily. It wasn't a comparison. How can I move more freely in this out and in breath of life? Please, Master, can you say something about this? In your presence, I feel both love and silence. Does one ever exist without the other? Love and silence, Dhyan Himat. For me, they are like two sides of the same coin. So it's not much different. If one is up, is love. If the other one is up, it's silence. And this is the two parts they've always been talking about to come back to yourself. One is love, is more the feminine part, which is what you are saying. For you, it's easier just to sit. Going in comes more natural to me. Because you are more the male, that is more the part of meditation. Of silence, because you are alone. That is natural. For the woman, it's more natural to communicate, to go out, love. But they're both two sides of the same coin. So when these two meet, then the inner and the outer meet, the yin and the yang. That is true Tantra, your inner male or your inner female. If you are male, you meet your inner female. If you are a woman, your inner male. Then it's balance. The silence, the strength, the non-doing, the let go, the emptiness. And they say everything came from emptiness, no? In the beginning, there was the word, there was the sound. That's what many of the religions says. In the beginning, it was just the sound. It was all empty, black. That sound was Aum, the soundless sound. Out of that, the Big Bang, the creation. How come this Big Bang, that is just an act of God, so you can live the silence consciously. Only human can do that. And only if they become conscious. So you have both. You have the inner silence of existence, of the whole cosmos, which Buddha says is emptiness. That is nirvana. It's just a pregnant emptiness, stillness, silence. Then the other part, which is the heart, bhakti, Sufis, singing, a mirror, that is the outgoing, And you have mystics, you have enlightened people on both parts. And remember, they don't need to be feminine to be on the feminine path. A Rumi is also part of love. A Jesus. A Buddha is more the silence. A Ramana Maharshi. A Lao Tzu. A Zen master is more the part of meditation, of emptiness. But, of course, when the Buddha becomes so silent, and when he speaks, when he comes out, then what is that silence? Is pure love, is pure compassion. It has to be, because it comes from the center. And when you are a pure love outside, a mirror, a Jesus, when they go in, is pure rest, relaxation, being at home. So that's how it should be. That's how it is. And now you have touched it, Himat, then just let it grow. Come more and more from the center. Then whatever you do, which I told you before, whatever you do in your life, just do it and do it beautiful. It doesn't matter what one is doing in this life. It has nothing to do with your center, with your core. It's untouched. You have different circles, you can say. The first is the physical, that is of doing, which is what most people are lost in. They only see themselves as the body. This whole Western world is just body, body conscious. They hardly know anything more than that. Then if they get some problems, get in unbalance, then maybe they go to the shrink, no? Then you start looking at your thoughts, your mind. That is the second. Thinking is the second. Many people live their whole life, they don't reflect much on how they're functioning in their thinking. They are just people of the body. Never going deep, never reflecting, never thinking anything deep, never reflecting even that they're going to die. That takes them by surprise. Then little deeper than the body is the thinking. Deeper than that, the third is feelings, emotions. Now you start getting more close to a human. Most of the people are afraid of their emotion because it's unknown. So when all these three layers is in balance, is unburdened, is natural, what I call natural, is in harmony, then the fourth can emerge, which is the witness, which is that clarity inside, that centering, that sees through all that. Very few comes to that. That is where meditation wants to take you. That's where I want to take you. Then you are not identified with your thinking, with your physical doings, with your emotions. You see truth as it is. You feel love as it is. You have a clear vision. And out of that, that is the best thing as a father you can give to your children. It's the best you can give to yourself. It's the best you can give to society. It's the best you can give at all. So both ways is the best. It's the best for the being and it's best for the outside. And they should go together, because for so long the meditators have just gone in. And it shouldn't be an escape from society. The new way, the new, what Osho called the new man, is to live in the world, do whatever, But be untouched by it. Be in touch with your inner self, with your center. And then do whatever, and then you will do it much more beautiful, and then you will give something to the world. Make it more beautiful, more conscious. Because you are conscious, that's what you will spread. Being unconscious, you will spread unconsciousness. Being loving, you will spread love. My beloved master of silence and bliss, this is what happened to me. One fine morning, a few days ago, after an early bath in the river, I felt quite cold and had to go under the blanket again. There I did not get warm either for a long time, but feeling too lazy to do anything about it, I just kept lying there. When it was time to go to the meditation, I could not get up. In fact, I found no sense in doing so. Not again this going into action. Not again meeting these people. Not again taking responsibility for the day. A deep relaxation, a let go of everything happened. Everything could come to an end now. No more plans. Even leaving the body here and now felt fine. There was no big emotions involved, just a deep, I don't need this anymore. So tired of the pushing of the mind to get my life together. Many insights how this body-mind system works to stay alive. Then after a long while, my body felt hungry and I got up for breakfast. No silence is going deeper. Nothing much is coming up. I even made peace with that troubled mind. Citrax, you said. That is the best quote of the year. Yeah, that is your mantra now, Akash. Because now you caught Rex at the right moment when you are conscious, when you have a distance. And then it's just awareness, whenever it comes, be straight with it. And leave me alone, you should said. I don't need this anymore. That is the seeing. All my gratitude at your feet, Akash. Very good. That's how it comes. It comes effortlessly because it's effortless. There is nothing to think about. Even if you're trying to do something, it's something that goes against it. Then you just have to surrender to it. This is totally fine. You found no sense of doing so. No, because you already are there where any meditation should bring you. Then why do that? So when your being is totally at ease, then why do anything? Or why not do everything? Everything is open. Because you are at home. A deep relaxation and let go of everything happen. And that's how it is, when it just happens. What is the need then? It gives you total freedom. And then you see also that nothing can push you. Or if you have to work, you do. You do what is necessary. Otherwise, take total holiday, just enjoy. At last, you can just enjoy, because this mind, this doing, has been bugging me so long. Everything could come to an end now. No more plans. Even leaving the body here and now felt fine. That's exactly how it is. Because you are fulfilled. This can only come up when you have been fulfilled. Life is so beautiful. No, it's at the peak. But why leave the body? Why not try to live in that? That is the whole new, that's the new thing. When the past is gone, the darkness is gone, the mind is gone, then everything becomes magical. And every moment you're ready to die, if that's what's going to happen. So be it, because you have let go. That is what surrendering is. It's nothing to hold on to. All tensions are gone. That is what meditation is. There were no big emotions involved, just a deep, I don't need this anymore. So tired of the pushing of the mind to get my life together. You can never get the life together. How can you? Everything is perfect. What is there to get together? Who is this burger who wants to get things together? When he is gone, everything is perfect. And there was no big emotions involved. That's what I just said. First is the physical, then the thinking, then the emotions. When all those are silenced, and only then, when you have gone beyond those three first, which most people never go beyond, then the witnessing, then your consciousness can awaken. Then everything is fine. And there is no fear of death, because it is like it always has been. Then after a long while, my body felt hungry and I got up for breakfast. Yeah, the body has its own wisdom, it's very innocent. Is only the mind that is the bugger. If you can listen to the body, it's great, because the body has its own wisdom. But normally we don't listen to the body. We want to push the body. We have our ideas about what to do. But the body is very innocent. So if from consciousness you can listen to the body, it's great. Because the body knows when you are tired. That's what the Zen people say. It's great because it's happening here. Every day you get insights, you get realizations. It's just like the Zen master said, like the mystic others have said. One monk come to a master and ask, how is it to be enlightened? How is it to be a great master? And he said, when I'm thirsty, I drink. When I'm hungry, I eat. When I'm tired, I sleep. When I need firewood, I go and chop wood. And I said, but this is what everybody does. Yes, but it's different. And this is the difference. Because there's no effort. He's totally in tune. When the body needs to sleep, you sleep. You don't have a schedule. So if this comes over you and you have the opportunity, you should go deep into it. Allow yourself to break all the schedules, what you had. Just try to be totally like a child again. Eat when you want to eat, sleep when you want to sleep. Go for a walk when you want to go for a walk. Because the body, you need to give that gift back. Otherwise, it can easily be lost. It can become just an insight. You felt it, but you have to nurture it. Because the habit of doing is very old. This is just like a new flower, a new consciousness that is coming. The flower of no non-doing, Wu Wei. Doing in no doing. Everything happens, but is nobody there who is interfering. There is no mind. You start functioning innocent again, in tune. That's what it means to be in tune with life. You are natural, organic. No silence is going much deeper, and nothing much comes up. And this is the time to go deeper in. That is meditation. Nothing should come up. You should just sit, that's what I mean, just sit and rest into that. This is a totally new beginning. When the mind and the whole system is quiet, at ease, that's the time to go deeper, to devote yourself to this new you, that you can function without doing anything. Everything happens. You don't need to think because everything will happen. It's a deeper consciousness in you that you haven't touched. And going deeper, following that, everything will be so beautiful. So Akash, let this be a new beginning. And I think you are just at the right place also in the outside, in your physical life. So you can allow that. Very good. I remember a time in Pune when I lived by the river. I think I must have been sitting for months on my balcony drinking chai, eating a little bit, looking at that river and sleeping and going for a little walk, just like that. I didn't want to interfere at all. Just sleeping. When I was hungry, I was eating. When I felt like moving body, I was walking. And back again sleeping and sitting on my balcony. You have to give it space. Don't let the doing take over again. It's very fragile. You have to surrender to truth, to silence, to love, to show, yes, no, I want to become an intimate friend. Shanti.